This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. It's Thursday, the 2nd of March, 2017. We're nearing the next to last week of the regular legislative session. It's been a furious week of committee activity, and the bills continue to move their way through now the second chamber, as we refer to it here affectionately in Pierre. We'll be done with our committee work early next week, and then any differences that arise between the two chambers will be resolved in conference committees currently scheduled to occur on Wednesday and Thursday, with the possibility of extending into Friday should the need arise. So it's hard to believe that we've so quickly moved through the legislative session. It always seems like there's many, many days in front of you when you start, and then when you get near the end, you wonder where they've all escaped to so quickly. So it's a pleasure to be here with you this morning, and I'm looking forward to your questions.
Well, I would certainly agree with Senator Curd. Things have gone extremely fast with everything that's happened. I think we've made a lot of progress on a lot of things. Obviously, you know, got to finish up with the budget yet, and there's still some bills that we have to deal with in state affairs, judiciary, not a great deal. And we'll easily be able to get our work done the way we need to, and then I'm sure there'll be some conference committees as bills get changed and moved around. The appropriators are diligently working on the budget so that we can get that all taken care of, and they're making great progress. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. And once before we leave, we will have a balanced budget. So that's what's happening.
Well, good morning, everyone. Just dovetailing off the both leaders, you know, the process is happening. We've had a couple of really good days of work in the House. We had kind of a backlog of Senate bills based on all the House bills we had to dispose of a week ago for crossover day, but had a real good day on Monday and Tuesday and worked through a lot of bills, and we're in a really good position here moving into the last three working days, really, of session where we'll actually be hearing bills and getting them all taken care of by Tuesday. As the leader said, really into that mode of scrutinizing that budget process and trying to go line by line through there and seeing what we can do to balance this thing and make it work for this year, the current budget, and for 18. So that process is ongoing. There's lots of other things that are working as well with lots of different bills. And so I think the process is happening, and we're just, you know, seeing that through the finish line now.
I guess what more can you tell us about, how the budget process is going currently?
Well, I think from the House perspective, our appropriators are working to find ways to balance and working with bringing ideas forth that will help us do that, working with the staff that they have on their team, and just continuing to find ways to make this thing go. And so it's not rocket science. I mean, they're just trying to, we got to balance. It's pretty simple.
I would just add, I know a lot of the, Secretary of State's office, other departments are looking at areas, okay, maybe there's some places that we can cut to help out with this or not raise as much, whatever. So it's an ongoing process. We've seen some preliminary stuff. There's some things that have been decided, some hasn't yet, and it's just a matter of getting all that to come together and the House and Senate work together to get it figured out.
Does that mean, I guess, the 1% increases are kind of off the table? And what about property tax relief or any of those still being considered? Or are those going to be scaled back to sort of fill that hole?
Well, I think in a year like this, I think if you don't have to cut, then that's a win. And so to answer your question, I don't know that any increases are going to be in the cards. Now, it's still preliminary, but I think folks that we're hearing from and different groups and organizations understand what we're dealing with this year and understand how tight the money is. And I think for them, not having to take a cut is a win.
Yeah, Ali, I think Representative Peterson is correct. You know, when we talk about cuts, what they really are in reductions from the original budget proposal. And in most cases, I think you'll see that the budget will be flat with respect to fiscal 2017. There may be other areas where there are actually decreases in spending where they have the least impact to the ability of the state to deliver the services that it's supposed to do. So it's a very dynamic process right now, very fluid. I know both chambers are vigorously looking at the budget for the opportunity for everyone to give their perspective on things where spending reductions could be obtained, and we'll be looking forward to trying to come to some resolution of that, which we always do. And the general bill, I'm sure, will successfully navigate both chambers early part of next week.
House Speaker Mickelson earlier this week told me that it basically is going to come down to the last 7, 8, 9 days, $25 million in 18. We got to cut 25 in 18. And he felt that the SDSU lab would probably make that final cut. I'm just looking for your thoughts on, is it $25 million? Is it a different number, higher number? And how difficult is it to find that 25? And will SDSU lab be in that final day?
Well, at this point, I guess I'm confident that the lab will make it. We've got a lot of broad support for making that happen. All the bills are still in play, and there's a three-part puzzle that we need to get put together, and I'm very confident that everybody's going to work together to get that done. It's been a three-year process to get to that point, and there's very little general funds going into that at all. We're finding other ways that we can come up with the numbers, and that's the key to making this work. As that happened, I think the speaker was where his number was at. I think that's a good number. I think that's kind of where we all figure we're at, is right in that neighborhood anyway.
Any thoughts on the lab from the Senate side?
Oh, there continues to be great interest in it, and just a little bit of a misnomer, but it's really the ADRDL, the Animal Disease Research and Diagnostic Lab. It's really not it's not owned by the South Dakota State University, of course, other than it's on its campus. So sometimes that perception gets promoted. I'd like it to be just understood that, and I'm sure that it is, that it is the ADRDL. It's not proprietary. It belongs to the state. There's great interest in continuing to find a way to fund it. There's probably some individuals that feel like that they have a different proposal they'd like at least considered. So we're trying to mesh all those things together and see if there's a productive way to end up with having progress move forward for the lab.
I know the Government Accountability Board bill has worked through both chambers, and I guess how does that bill
do?
Yes, yeah. How does that sort of mirror the Ethics Commission that people voted for that was a part of IM-22?
Good question. As it pertains to the Ethics Commission and IM-22, I believe this one is, the part that we like the most about is it's independent, and having a way to work any issues through the system, and then having retired judges on there who have been in the situation of a lot of the things that will be brought before it many times over their career, I think. Is something that's very comforting to know that you know it's going to be a fair process. And so I think the policy side of things is sound. And as it pertains to IM-22, it's not the same, but I think it is still quite similar into the effect of what it will be able to get done.
Just for clarification, that came through Senate State Affairs late last night, and then I don't know if it's on the floor today, probably be Monday, it'll be up on the floor of the Senate, and you know, I would expect it to pass off the floor. Seems to be pretty well resounding support. Everybody's been briefed on it, and everybody's had their ideas and input into the bill, and it's been real, I guess I would say, bipartisan support, and a lot of the concerns have been addressed over the time that it's been working its way through the system. So I would expect it to come off the floor of the Senate.
There's also the task force on the initiative and referendum process. I guess, what are you hearing maybe from your voters about that task force and I guess sort of the changing of the initiative and referendum process, the few bills that have sort of worked through the legislature already? How might that be met, I guess?
I have really heard very little about that. I mean, I can't even say that I've had one email concerning that one way or the other. I know in visiting with a lot of my constituents before session even started, you know, people were really concerned about how easy it was to do and that something should be done. And so I think, you know, having this, if this gets all the way through, I think this is a good idea to have people take a look at it and see what we can do. You know, there were some things we want to add. I think the fiscal note, I think that's a huge part of it. There's a lot of people. The chamber had their meeting the other day, and I think it was 86% of the people that answered. You know, they always have that questionnaire that they do with all the people at the banquet. 86% of them felt that was vital to have that in there, that would be a really good part of it, to have that fiscal note attached. So I think that is a, you know, that's one thing I think can improve it. I think everybody has the right to know what that's going to cost us to do this.
I would just follow up with what Leader Qualm said, is that I haven't heard anything about the summer studies. The one issue that I did hear over the referendum and referred process is what people out west really wanted to know, and we've already passed this, and I'm assuming it's working its way through the houses, but they want to know what the fiscal impact was. When they're going to vote and they're going to check that box, yes or no, they want to know what this is going to cost the state. That was one thing I heard over and over and over again. Why can't we know what this is going to cost?
Lee, the overwhelming response that I've gotten from folks is that they feel like the legislature taking a look at the things that have been done and also taking a look at the initiated measure process, the referendum, and the constitutional amendment process is something that has been expressed as widely supported to me. They know that these are broad topics with significant ramifications should changes be made, and they've been very supportive of taking a very deliberate look at all these different areas to make sure that we understand the ramifications of any modifications to the best of our ability to do so before we initiate significant changes. So I think despite perhaps a lot of vocal opposition to repeal of a previous initiated measure, I think as time has passed and the people have had the ability for thoughtful consideration about the different things that have been discussed here this legislative session. In general, the overwhelming response has been, I think it's good to slow down and take a look at these things and make sure that we understand the nature of the changes that we're contemplating.
Might be a little early to do a postmortem on the 92nd session, but a week from now we'll be talking about what was accomplished, what was left undone, all these things. Could you kind of give me your thinking if we go all the way back to week one and we look at all the things that happened? It kind of came in with a bang. We saw a resignation in the first 2 weeks. All these things have happened in the last 6 weeks. Can you kind of give me an idea of your thoughts on the 92nd session as we go into the final few days and what this whole process has been about to you and what you accomplished, what you think you still need to work on, understanding there's still time left on the clock?
You know, we tend to get caught up in the topic of the day, but I think the big message is we passed three retirement law bills, one of which had an actuarial savings of $1.2 billion unanimously. And I think that speaks to the fiscal responsibility that Republicans and Democrats both share.
I'll just add to that. I think when you look at that and look in the mirror, I guess what I would say is the process works here in South Dakota, and it's worked for the entirety of our statehood, and it will continue to work. You know, the folks that occupy the seats up here with the badges on are going to change over time, but I think what we have to remember is the institution is way bigger than any of us sitting in here, and we have to respect that and understand that there's a process in place that clearly works, and it has.
Well, I would certainly agree with what the speaker and the assistant leader had to say. It's been a great session, and I think you do get kind of caught up in the talk of the day. But when it all gets said and done, we've done a lot of good things. I think we've helped healthcare by allowing for the certified nurse midwives to kind of take a step back from the doctors in rural areas. I mean, rural health care is getting very difficult. We've got midwives approved yesterday, and that's something that's been tried for 10, 15 years to get that done, and that's finally happened, and I think that's huge for the rural people. And there's so many things that have been done to help the people of South Dakota to make it a better place. And at the end of the day, I think it's going to come back that we had a great session. We got a lot of good things done for the people of South Dakota.
My comment regards to the voices that we've heard from the beginning of the session this week. There have been legislative sessions when I've been here when it's been relatively quiet, when there hasn't been a lot of interaction with folks, but the session's been substantially different. We've got to hear from members of our state that we've never heard from before that have brought a broad range of opinions to us, and there's been a very vigorous debate both within the legislative arena internally within the Capitol, but also externally about a variety of different measures. And it's been very refreshing to see the public so engaged. It's tapered off here in the last couple of weeks. Of nature, it's tough to keep people's attention forever, especially with the national level political things that are happening. But as you've heard before, there have been substantial changes to many areas in South Dakota this year that I think improve the state and place it in a good position for the future. So it's been a pleasure to be a part of that. And we'll finish the work next week here, and then we'll hear back how we did.
I guess what I think is so unique about this process as we wrap up in this last week is that we are a citizen legislature, and we're going to return back to our farms, our ranches, going back to being a doctor, our offices, and the sun's going to come up tomorrow, and the state's going to move forward, and we'll be back here periodically throughout the summer to address any concerns and issues, look at the summer studies that have passed that we're going to be working on to keep moving South Dakota forward. To me, it's just a unique process that the institution truly is bigger than any one individual sitting here. And what is so great about South Dakota is the fact that we are a citizen legislature, and we come here from great backgrounds and different experiences, and mush it all together. And what we have at the end of the day is a product that seems to work for the entire state. So,
Senate Bill 54 deals with a lot of the campaign finance limits that I guess it looks like it might come up in a task force later on down the road. But I know there have been a lot of increases in the amounts of money that certain entities can donate to other entities or candidates, that sort of thing. And I know Democrats tried a few times to hoghouse that amendment with the language from IM-22. I guess why not use the language from IN-22 that voters voted for in November?
Well, Lee, I think there really weren't any increases. It depends on what you use as your reference point. If you go back to the way South Dakota law was in November of 2016, there are actually significant reductions in various areas where in some categories there were unlimited ability to donate or move money between organizations. Now those have been restricted significantly. So there's an order of magnitude difference at least between unlimited and what the current limits are in Senate Bill 54. Keep in mind that the House has yet to weigh in and give its opinion on it, and I know that they're eager to do so, and we've been having some discussions about that. I think we'll see some things change in Senate Bill 54 that will require it to be considered in a conference committee, and we'll have to see what the result of the conference committee is and the amendments that are made, and see if they're acceptable to the Senate or not. If they are, and the House and Senate can agree, we'll concur and continue to get it down to the governor's desk for signature. So, and then we'll have to see if he vetoes it or not, right? So there are still at least three different opportunities for Senate Bill 54 to be considered. There's the amendments the House may offer, the conference committee, which will likely result, and then potentially gubernatorial veto at some point. So I think the final result of Senate Bill 54 is still an open question.
From the House side, our caucus is talking about this ongoing right now, and we've had really starting into the process of this bill earlier this week, and spending some time within our caucus, getting our arms around all of the different components of that, and getting feedback from our caucus members for our way forward. And this bill will be heard next Monday in State Affairs, and we will continue the conversation at that time. And if any changes need to be made, they could potentially be made there. And then we'll proceed down to the House floor, and as Senator Curd said, likely into a conference committee to iron out any differences and get the final details finished up.
Senator Curd, Senate Bill 95 passed out of committee today with the amendment that you supported. I'm wondering if you can clarify how including in the top portion of the bill that FDA approval be required to exempt it from the definition of marijuana versus the rescheduling of CBD without that clarification, how that sort of evens out and whether it would be legal in South Dakota prior to FDA approval.
Sure. Just to bring everyone up to speed, Senate Bill 95 was an attempt to legalize cannabidiol, which is a derivative of the marijuana plant, but in such a way that it has no psychoactive component, and it's a substance that's used for the control of intractable pediatric epilepsy to the largest degree that it's utilized, although there are potentially some other clinical benefits for it as well. So Senate Bill 95 did two things. The first was, once approved by the FDA, it removed cannabidiol from the legal definition of marijuana, and I think that's an important distinction because as of today, let's say this bill passed and it had the effect of law as soon as the governor signed it tomorrow, CBD oil would still be under the legal definition of marijuana, so I think it would still be unlawful to possess it in our state under the marijuana statute. Once the drug becomes FDA approved, when cannabidiol becomes FDA approved, then I think it allows somebody to possess it under a Schedule 4 substance, which is the second part of the bill on the backside. So you could potentially have just excluded cannabidiol on the front page of the bill as it is listed today and taken out a product approved or a drug approved by the FDA. You could have just said cannabidiol, which I think would have been fine. It does potentially set up a conflict in the law, and that might be something that we hear about again. Since it's been amended, it will also make its way to a conference committee, and that might be a difference that we can iron out between the Senate and the House next week.
Just as a follow-up, you had mentioned a conflict. I mean, to you, does the bill currently make sense? It seems to be like it should have both been amended or not.
Well, it does to me because I've always envisioned it as a two-step process. So the definition, so cannabidiol is still defined it's still defined as marijuana in our statute because it's a derivative, except for the others that are excluded, and those are in that same provision. So I think until such time as it becomes FDA approved, the cannabidiol itself, that it still falls under the marijuana definition, and this is not going to be effective until July, as you know, until if the governor signs it. So I would like to hear from other folks about what they think about the potential for the conflict to exist, and if it's something that we're comfortable amending out, or if it creates operational difficulties the way that it is, then I'm open to taking a look at it for sure.
Representative Haugard indicated he would look at a hoghouse amendment for the bill once it reaches the House. Is that something you'd work with him on, just to be more clear about situations in which CBD might be appropriate for patients in South Dakota?
Well, it's difficult to prejudge that without knowing the content, so it would have to take a long look at what it was and make sure I understood it. I feel like I understand what we were trying to do today fairly well, so it would depend on the nature, and I would seek input from other individuals as well before I would try and decide if we could support it or not. If that was successful navigating the House floor with a completely rewritten bill, it would suffer the same fate. It would be in the conference committee again next week, so I think we'd get an opportunity to take a look.
I understand, too, that the House could take up Senate Bill 149 today, which deals with protections for religious adoption agencies. Do you have any sense of how your caucus might come down on that today?
No, not at this time. And we are going to take it up. We will have it on the floor today. We decided that we're going to take that bill. There's going to be a lot of discussion back and forth, and we'll just see what happens. I really don't know at this point what will happen.